Hello and welcome back. It's painfully early in the morning. It's another week closer to Christmas and I still have done exactly zero Christmas shopping. And well, I'm screwed. Time is running out and I really don't understand all the people out there who do their Christmas shopping in like July or something because I just can't even deal with that. I usually do my shopping like Christmas Eve and wrap it atrociously and chuck it under a tree. But I have been busy, if that counts for anything. I've had a super stressful time at work, but it's finally chilled out now. The thing with being self-employed is you get the joy of dealing with clients who want to hang on to their money for as long as possible, even when the work is complete. So they look for any minor detail to complain about and withhold payment. It's really a cycle of just bollocks. And the thing is, if you book us in and you're tight on money, I'm not offended. We've all got bills to pay, and not paying me means me and my family go without, so pay for work on completion. Seriously, like, I'm a nice guy. There's a warranty. If you get any problems, I'll take the time out of my day to help you out. But Jesus, it's just, yeah. Ran over anyway. God, it is so early. And yeah, as you can probably hear from my voice, I'm on my first cup of coffee. And that's about it. I'm not even dressed. It's a good day. This episode is going live today as well. So I've got to do this, edit it, and schedule it for release for a few hours actually, so it's gonna be fun. Also, the hoodies, which may or may not be happening before Christmas, unfortunately it's all gonna be crazy. But the cat has just headbutted the mic stand. All right, you just stand there. Yes, so the hoodies may or may not be happening before Christmas. Unfortunately, it's all gone a bit crazy, and I've been super stressed, like I said, and time is running out. So it looks like I'll be doing them hopefully for just after New Year's. So if you're still interested, I of course will let you know when the giveaway starts and how to enter. But as of right now, I literally have no idea. I barely know what day it is these days, but they will happen, and we're gonna make 2021 our bitch. This year has been such a catastrophic year in so many ways, from of course the pandemic, to riots, to the BLM movements, the election, Brexit popping up again. It's all going off, but it's done. It's nearly over. This year will be ending soon. So raise that middle finger high up in the air and send it off in style. Socially distanced though, of course. I have been researching and looking for some creepy stories out there, and I think I found a few you guys hopefully will really enjoy. So of course, looking through the show's data, one of the most popular episodes is actually the Real and Cursed Haunted Objects, which was surprising to me. It seems like you guys really dig it, which is cool. It was a fun episode to do. All the research stories, it's never as creepy as actually reading your guys' encounters out there. So we're going to be doing a continuation of that episode. Continuation, that was really hard to say this early. God, I hope there's no big words. My brain is not awake yet. So of course, this is the Real Cursed and Haunted Objects part 2. So enjoy, grab a drink, sit down, relax, and enjoy your spooky Sunday, or whenever you actually listen. My name's Lou, the creator of these creepy tales, and welcome back to That Haunted Show. This first story is coming from a username Star347 out of Indiana in the States. When I was in 6th grade, 12 years old or so, I was invited by one of the most popular girls to a slumber party for a birthday. I was very excited to go because it was my first year at private Catholic school and I was still trying to make friends. Everyone was looking forward to coming in particular. She'd switched schools so I never met her before, because she was bringing her special table to the party. They said this table could answer your questions, but I've always been skeptical by nature, so I was doubtful, but I just rolled with it. The night of the party, the girl we'll call April for this story, it wasn't anything spectacular, just an old fold-up square card table that belonged to her grandma. It had a vinyl covering on top and that had a wood grain pattern, and a large diamond shape in a different pattern of wood grain, and yet another wood grain pattern inside of that. After the usual of eating pizza and watching movies, we went upstairs to the birthday girl's room where April set up her table. Everyone gathered around it and they explained to me that you had to close your eyes and concentrate while lightly resting two fingers on the table top and repeating, everyone in unison, rise table, rise, over and over again. Obviously, I didn't take it seriously and just giggled throughout it all. The legs had to be at least 12 inches off the ground. I was obviously stunned when I opened my eyes and looked for any possible explanations as to how it was happening, but of course there was none. As long as we kept our index and middle fingers slightly on the top, it stayed like that. The girl started to ask the table more random questions, as if the answer was a yes, it would lower that side and would raise up and almost touch the ground and go back up until the next question. If the answer was a no, it wouldn't lower, it would just stay raised up. So of course we asked stupid questions, but the thing that really struck me was that they tried to guess which boy I liked. Okay, stupid I know, but I was 12. And I can tell you, nobody knew who I liked, as I was a new girl and kept it to myself. And as they guessed different boys, the table did not indicate a yes answer, until they finally got around to asking if I liked the boy I actually had a crush on. How did it know? No one knew this, trust me, I was discreet about it. Things turned darker after a while we tried to ascertain the origin of whatever was actually communicating with us. I felt it like it was sucking us deeper and deeper. We tried and tried to say goodbye to it, but it wouldn't let us go. And it seemed to get angry as we started to move up and down violently, answering yes to all our questions. The girl April told us the one rule that you can't take your hands off the table. You have to say goodbye properly and release it. Yeah, good shout by April there. Through asking yes or no questions, it said that it was a young child who still slept in a crib. How could a child understand any of our questions, really? This child was apparently smothered in the aforesaid crib in the 1800s England, and it wanted to travel there to find its bones and bury it properly. Somebody asked it if it knew who Jesus was, and the table gave an answer of no. And then, when someone took a Precious Moments crucifix off the wall and set it on the table, it shook violently to knock it onto the floor. And that pretty much was enough for me at that point. Of course, I couldn't sleep later, while everyone else slept soundly. I was still scared, and I even went home the very next morning. As an adult now in my 30s, I'm firmly rooted in logic and reason. When I look back, I have more questions than answers. All I can say is certain that this did happen, just as I've written above. It was no illusion, nothing that the 10 of us could collectively imagine that we're expecting. I believe it was something very sinister that tried to suck a bunch of little girls pretending it was a child. Who knows what it wanted? Nothing good, probably. More than anything for me, this first experience opened a door for me to have many other ones, including things like my talking candle, which perhaps I'll write about some other time on here. What do you guys think it was? Have you ever heard of anything similar? Well, there's that whole kind of phenomena about that when you kind of do a psychic reading with a medium or anyone along that in that field. There's a lot of illusions you can do with these tables, so... what's it called? I forget what it's called. It's a alliteration. Table tipping. I can't remember what it was, but it's basically, there is an old technique you can do this, which a lot of mediums have done, and it's been debunked by like many scientists and maybe even on like Fact or Fate. And I know I've seen a lot on YouTube about this, how it can be fate by basically any slight movements you can do with your own arms or legs. Granted, I wasn't there, so I can't say for certain, but if someone like a magician or illusionist can create this effect, I believe it probably wouldn't be too hard to learn. You were young girls, maybe someone didn't notice, maybe this, I forget the name, but a person who owned the table, maybe she had figured it out, maybe her grandma taught her something about it, but it's interesting that the table did get the right answers. How well did this girl know you and your crush? Could she have known something, some kind of inside information? Who knows, but interesting regardless. Next story is by a user called Skylar123, coming out of New York. So I got my dresser a year ago from my ex-sister-in-law. She and my brother are Wiccans, and I did not think anything of it. Each to their own, I always thought. It's a beautiful dresser made of dark hardwood. Anyways, back to the story. My mum hates coming in the back of the trailer, and it gives her the heebie-jeebies. So I put a blanket for a wall, thinking maybe it will help, but she still has these bad feelings. So every now and then, something strange would happen, and my father's PC would turn on and lights would flicker when everyone's asleep, but the creepiest things has been happening lately. Yesterday, I took a picture of inside my dresser, and it had about 4 or 5 orbs inside, and took another pic right after, and nothing. Today, I wake up a little early, and I look at my dipped-in tower, and it got knocked over. My cat likes to jump on top and sleeps, no problem. I pick it up a couple of minutes later usually. Something then took a tin out of its place and it fell. My brother, mother and father were making some TV stand and my cat was asleep in my brother's room, so I ignore it. And this time an empty tin almost flew at me and hit me in the head. So I say fuck it. I'm putting it back together and I find an unopened tin. I don't add full tins to my tower because I will forget about it. So I go out for a bike ride and come back. take another couple of sets of pictures and saw an orb in my room. And once again, it was gone in the next picture. Later on, I'm in my room watching TV on my phone. Yes, I know. Not just use your television set, but I don't have an antenna in my room. So I felt a burning scratch appear on my face. Alright, short story, but interesting. The whole kind of light orbs and everything that goes with it is really common. There's so many things that could debunk it, but then again, there's so many reasons it can't be debunked. I've taken many pictures of orbs as well, and my sister, like I've said, in my family's home, there is so many stuff going on there, it's weird. But you can pretty much go in any room there and you get light orbs. And that weird, like, claw hand in the living room, that still freaks me out to this day. I don't think I've been there since. It's definitely been a while. God, I'm dreading Christmas. But yeah, it's going to be weird. But yeah, the orbs itself, I never like to say for electricals because there's so many things, electricals, stuff happens. My PC random flashes in the night, turns itself on, like my PlayStation will randomly turn itself on, like, yeah, that could be something haunted, but my brain is usually like, eh, it's just turning itself on, who cares, it's probably downloading something, right? So, a lot of electrical stuff, there's so many things that can happen, you can't quite account for it, right? But the orbs, it's, yeah, orbs, so let's just say it was dust for a second. So you took the picture, you got loads of dust particles, look like light orbs, right? If you could take that picture again, straight after, that dust particle is like moved, it's probably halfway across the room, they're tiny microscopic details, right? So, yeah, it will be hard to recreate, but it can happen. And then, of course, it can just be the light orbs if you're feeling all this stuff happen. Or maybe with your mum and her heebie-jeebies and your father's PC turning on. And the orbs, it all is a coincidence, and you are actually experiencing something, but it's interesting. So next story. This one is by Spirit Waiting out of Oklahoma. I know... Fuck. How have I messed up the story in the first line? I know just about nothing of Native American heritage. My mother, since I was little and can remember, has always told me stories of my father. The stories never change, even in her condition now. He is a Native American French medicine man, who from my mother's description was and could still be quite powerful and violent. When I speak of him, strange things go on and they aren't good experiences, so I've learned not to. That is the only connection I have with the Native American culture besides my prayers my mum taught me as a child. Anyhow, while living in the previous home, my mother came to visit and stay a couple of days with us, just to catch up and spend some time with the grandbabies and relax. Towards the end of her visit, she wanted to give me something, and she asked me to bring her bag and purse. I brought both of them. She asked me to describe the bracelet she had on mum's wrist, the other she had in her hand. I did, and she said, "I want to give this to you." I told her no, because they were both very personal bracelets, and I believe this energy coming from one wasn't to my liking. I asked her about this particular one, which was the one on her wrist. This bracelet was beautiful traditional Indian colours, beaded, red, turquoise and brown. She said she had got it down in Chickasaw, Oklahoma during her annual powwow festivals, and my stepdad had brought it for her. She wanted to give me that one, and I told her no, simply because he gave it to her. She wouldn't take no for an answer though. Now, only a few hours before my puppy had jumped on her and left a small cut on her wrist, which a small speck of blood was inside of this bracelet. So I took it, I put it on and wore it for the remainder of her visit. Although I felt the energy coming off of it, it was a heavy dark energy, but I wore it. Now I've had this bracelet for almost a year now, and I forgot I had it. I put it in a jewelry box and stuffed it away. Until the move, I'd forgotten all about this. When I found myself drawn to a box with pictures and other important decorations, I found my little jewelry box with the bracelet. Inside was my gold cross and with a broken chain. I took it out of the box and the same weird feeling and energy still resides there. I asked my sister to have her ex's aunt do a reading on it to see if she could figure out what was going on. 2 weeks after, she forgot she even had it, and all hell was broken loose in her home. Her and her wife had been arguing and fighting. My sister has been more emotional and sensitive as of lately. Her third eye has been going overly active, and she doesn't know what to do. And now she's bringing back this bracelet tomorrow. She and I have had 2 conversations since, and I let her know the energy in my home has been off since I gave her that bracelet. So I'm only guessing here because maybe that it was a gift. I wasn't supposed to let it go. I told her once I have it back in my possession, I'm going to do a few cleansing rituals and do a good thorough one on it. Maybe that will help. Yeah, I'd definitely say it helps. If you're feeling this negative energy, and whoever kind of comes in possession of this bracelet is then having negative energy on themselves, there's definitely some kind of attachment on that. To have one person feeling this energy and heaviness coming off it, it's, yeah, like it could be playing on your mind, it could be imagination, but to actually pass it on to someone else and then they're having the negative representations and repercussions of it, it's not just you, it's on them as well. So it makes you think it's definitely a lot more definitely a lot more active. An interesting thought was, though, why was your mum trying to give you like that bracelet specifically and like so insistent on giving it to you? It kind of reminds me of the movie It Follows, because like you pass it on and then you're in the clear and it's on them. But that was your mum, so that's a bit of a jack move if she's doing that. But interesting, just a thought, putting it out there. Maybe. I don't know. Give it back to your mum. Give it to someone you don't care about. Nah, don't do that. Get it cleansed, do something, fight the demon, It Follows ban, shit, watch the film, it's good. So, this is Bri Lily Rose 444, and this is in Indiana. Okay, the website is just frozen, bear with me one second. Right, we're back. Dad and I love going to antique stores. Sometimes I'm just drawn to certain items. Once we went to a new antique store and I went all the way down to a certain booth while he did his own thing. Usually I like to look at the old toys, wondering who they used to belong to and such. Well, I came across this very old lamb doll. Okay, that's creepy. It was sitting in a baby booster seat. Okay, that's even creepier. It was clearly handmade by someone, and I would say it was dated back to late 1800s or early 1900s. Normally I don't touch old toys, but I felt like I needed to reach out and touch it. Its ears were stiff, and it felt like it had fallen into liquid or something a long time ago. The whole thing looked eerie. Yeah, probably. Damn. I hate old toys. They're just horrible. I held it and then began to feel very sick to my stomach. I got terrible vibes from it, and I had to walk away. The whole time, I felt like I was just in a trance. The feeling lasted until I got home. I just couldn't shake this awful energy. I'm not psychic, and this kind of thing doesn't happen all the time. I've had odd experience happen to me, but I could be interested in ghosts and such. I can't explain this at all. Would this be considered as a haunted item, just an item from the past with a bad history and negative energy? Now, another weird thing about it is I keep thinking about it and imagined who the toy used to belong to in my mind. I wouldn't say I had a vision about it, or its history or anything like that, but I do have a very clear picture in my mind about its origins, the child it belonged to, who made it, and why it had such a bad energy. But then again, that could just be my imagination creating the stories. Can someone explain this to me? Has anyone else felt overwhelmed in an antique store because of the same reason? Thanks. Well, you're welcome. That's definitely... It obviously seems like she is. She's got the gift. She can sense all these things. But old toys, man, they're creepy. I just can't deal with them. It just creeps me out. You ever seen old dolls or the people who have like those really... I forget what they're kind of called. But the realistic looking dolls. Like, that is just anxiety-driven hell for me. I can't deal with it. But it is, I would say, out of anywhere, it is going to be very common that in an antique store, you're going to be experiencing some kind of ghost or attachment to an object. Because antiques, they're not new. They're antiques, they're old, they're used, they've lived a life, and now they're being passed on to someone else. So it makes sense that they're going to have some kind of attachment, be it good or bad. But it's interesting to have someone, it's interesting that you're actually sensitive as well. And also, I wish you kind of elaborated that on your visions you're having of it, because I really want to know about its origins, who it belonged to, and why it was a bad energy, like you said. But that's annoying. I'm kind of looking through the profiles now under the username. No, there's no actual follow-up or anything along those lines. Yeah, unfortunately, looks like we'll never know, but interesting story. Make sure you didn't buy it, and maybe stay clear of antique shop for a while. I know I definitely do, they scare me. Anything old just scares me. It's just potential attachments. Yeah, I can't deal, man. Cannot deal. So, Oh god, and it would be the next story is about a doll. But it is out of the UK, so great, haunted dolls near me. Beautiful. As a young child, I always enjoyed playing with my dollies, as many young girls do. Now, at the age of 16, I wish I could have found more about my experience, and maybe some explanations as to why it happened to me. I don't really remember much from when I was in primary school years, but this was certainly one that I remember as if it were yesterday. There was a jumble sale, which, I don't know if you Americans know what a jumble sale is. Kind of like a kind of like a garage sale. There was a jumble sale that took place in the hall of my primary school around the year of 2007. I was about 8 at the time. There were many unwanted toys that had been brought in by children's parents, and the children themselves, none of which seemed to catch my eye. I was never a lover of shiny new-looking toys, which was the majority of them. After a good rummage through the piles of items, I eventually stumbled across a ragged-looking doll. The doll itself wasn't porcelain or made from any kind of plastic material, but instead was soft, a crochet doll that looked fairly mistreated and had a lot of stitches torn from its mouth and from its dress. Okay, red flag, danger, danger. I was thrilled at the fact that I had another doll to add to my collection. I had no suspicions of the doll at this time as being particularly strange or abnormal, undoubtedly because of my naivety at the age that I was at the time. When I got home that afternoon, I placed the doll on my bed, and the first couple of weeks or so, nothing out of the ordinary happened. As I began to collect more and more toys, I gradually started to remove certain toys that had been on my bed for some time. Although Lucy, the doll, was my favourite at the time, I had to move her to a large wooden box that I kept a lot of my other stuffed toys in. That night, I settled down with a Disney video and was beginning to drift to sleep when I noticed something was poking out the top of my toy box, just to the right of my bed. It was Lucy, oh god. It was Lucy. It seemed to stand on both legs, arms side by side, with an unusual facial expression that was unoriginal to the doll, almost like it was smirking. I did not feel threatened by the doll, and I continued to stare at the doll for a few seconds until, unexpectedly, the doll seemed to physically jump from one side of the box to another. I rushed to the box only to find Lucy laid flat at the top of the pile and motionless. You rushed to the box, Jesus, you're braver than I am. Since then, I've now moved in with my grandma and have no current recollection of the doll's whereabouts, but I still suspect it may be somewhere within my mum's house. I'd be interested in hearing what you guys think. Although the story is nothing too crazy. You had a doll that was alive. That's a bit crazy. I still count this as a paranormal experience and would like to hear your own opinions. Okay, so we got a bit more of a description about Lucy, the doll. She was a crochet doll, a blue dress with pink roses, blonde hair. Turns inside out into another doll. Oh, God. So it can turn inside out and it's another doll in an orange dress with brown hair. Simple facial features and no nose. That sounds horrifying. Actually, in the comments here, the doll you described as a topsy-turvy or double end. A double-ended doll, and it's probably handcrafted. Since you were only 8 at the time, and it was a one-time experience, it's hard to decide if this was a paranormal experience or not. You said you were beginning to drift to sleep. Yeah, that's a fair shout, actually. It could be some kind of lack of consciousness there. You're kind of half asleep, half awake. Maybe imagining things. It happens to the best of us. Just look at sleep paralysis, right? Yeah, you're definitely brave. You ran over there to a demonic doll, or a possessed doll, or haunted doll. I don't want to just shout demonic because so many people do. That's definitely creepy. I would steer clear. And yeah, you probably did a good shout moving out of there and leaving that doll. So now your mum's probably haunted. Nice job, kid. Alright, so can a painting be haunted? This is serious, and this is a bit of a long one, so it might be our last story as well. Username's in the TARDIS. Nice, Doctor Who. Love it. And this one's coming from Georgia, which, funnily enough, is where I get most of my listens. So whoever listens in Georgia, you're amazing. I love you. Thank you. So thank you to everyone who's read my first story about my grandparents' home. Well, shit, we haven't read that. This story entails a painting that my mother brought from an auction when I was about 8. As I stated, previously my parents were imported and exported antiques and fine wines for many years. Now just antiques. My mother, Natasha, is Russian-born, but grew up in the USA from the age of 3, and always had the love of anything old and unusual when it came to furniture and artworks, something that seems to have rubbed off on me a little. But my parents would regularly go to auctions and estate sales and like to purchase interesting pieces for their business. It was rare that anything purchased at these sales ever made it to the home to be part of our house, unless it was out of the ordinary or my parents liked it too much to part with it. My childhood home looked like a cross between a madman's idea of a yard sale and an antiques market for belonging to an insane hoarder, but it made for a good fun and interesting conversation and many a good pillow fort. None of the furniture or artworks previously had bothered me as far as I can remember until my mother purchased a painting by an unknown artist. It's never been signed and research had never been uncovered who painted it or what the subject actually is. All we know is that the family who put it in auction bought the home they had found it in, and they didn't like the painting or several pieces of furniture. My last owners had left behind, so off to the sales it went. It was a rather large lot and over 50 items. My mother purchased the painting and a sideboard full of silverware and plates of varying ages locked inside. We got them and opened it when we got home. It was strange as my mother had been told it was empty. Not so much as it turned out. The painting is of a woman about 30 years old or so, maybe older but it's hard to tell, wearing a long blue-grey gown standing in a veranda of an old house. Next to her is a table with a tea set and kettle which looks like some cake or sandwiches on a plate. And there are some flowers in a chair and part of a window. Whoever did the painting had a lot of talent as the detail is incredible. It was probably painted around 1900s to 1910 judging by the fashion that she's wearing. Okay, old painting, red flags, danger. My mother brought it home, and we hung it in the hallway next to my parents' bedroom between the main bathroom and the little room my dad used to do his paperwork in. I felt very strange around the painting from the first day it was hanging up. The hallway in summer was comfortable and never too warm, but after the painting was hung up in that area, it felt almost ice cold to pass. Every time I passed the painting, I'd get goosebumps on whatever exposed skin that I had. I also started feeling that the lady in the painting was watching me. My twin sisters started saying that they didn't like looking at the painting as it made them feel uncomfortable, and that they weren't meant to be around it. My baby brother would walk on the other side of the hallway to it, and at times when he was asked why he didn't like the little lady, he said that he was cold when he looked at her. He was 5 at the time, nearly 6. Soon, it went past just feelings in the hallway. At night, we'd start hearing whispers that hadn't been there previously. Our house had its share of spooky behaviour, but we got used to it, but this was new. Movement of a flash of blue-grey like the dress out the corner of your eye. A strange touch occasionally in the hallway where no one else would be around. This may sound like something from Tales from the Crypt, but I assure you this isn't something I saw on TV. I wish it only was. After my father, who was 6'5 and 350 pounds of him, got a cold hand run up his back when he was in the shower, was of any real notice when we said to our parents, okay. He was used to the other ghosts in the house and we thought, okay. Just another spirit making itself known. Are people aware of ghosts in the house? Like, if I've got even one, it's going to freak me out. Okay, so I'm glad you're dealing with the other ones. Oh, Jesus, it's just a cat. Sorry, I just saw a reflection in the mirror and it looked like a head. Right, my heart is going 1,000 BPM, sweet. My baby brother, let's call him Adam, was tipped on the stairs and pushed by a cold hand when he tried to get up again. The big fern we had in the hall next to the painting suddenly started dying. It was over 20 years and had no prior problems. When moved away from the painting, it went back to being just fine, and it's still alive today, but one side of it looks a little mangled. The side facing the painting was never the same again. The branches grew back, and it was weird that something had infected them. It was checked out and tested by a plant specialist who said they couldn't find anything wrong with the old plant. Our dogs, Frankie and Dex, both terrier mixes, wouldn't go past the painting without whining or growling at it. They were normally very placid and gentle dogs, and our aunt's dog Lula, a little poodle, had carried past it when she used to babysit. Jesus Christ. Our aunt's dog, a little poodle, had to be carried past it when we used to babysit her, and she wouldn't walk past it without even looking at it. Our cats tried to claw it one time, which it fell off its hook and onto the ground. Our normally placid Maine Coon cats, Sally and Meg, both went nuts trying to scratch it until we took it away. It started coming off the hook every other night since then and sat up against the wall upright until the morning and no one touched it. My mother, who is a very spiritual person who put up with friendly spirits in the house with a grain of salt, as they agreed they didn't bother but decided that this painting had to go and that something was wrong with it, to which we all had agreed. So off to the auctions it went, several times. My mother, who knew the buyers, found they only kept it for a month. They too heard whispers and their cat had attacked the painting. And they gave it to a neighbour who liked it. Jesus, poor neighbour. Oh god. Here we go. The neighbor sold it soon after their dog got freaked out around it. It kept getting sold or auctioned or given away until 2014, when a man who collected fine art in Florida bought a painting and did not know of its history. Having again tried to research its past, he only found that it was possibly a painting of an artist's wife who died young. I don't know if it's true or not, there's no real record of it, the artwork anywhere, as it's not signed. The man who owned it last, I heard, keeps it in his basement, as it frightens his grandchildren. He said he wouldn't sell it and plans to keep it locked up. I think he too knows something isn't right with it, and I'm worried as he's old and don't know what's going to happen when he dies. The painting, I think, isn't safe. Either ghosts in it or attached to it in some way, but it's not friendly. So please, anyone, if you see this painting, let me know. It really should be destroyed. I know it probably sounds like some made-up story for kids. As an adult man like myself, I shouldn't be wary of an old oil painting by someone unknown. But this painting is dangerous. Please destroy it if you buy it. It's really not worth the trouble. I'm sorry it's a long story. I wasn't going to post it until I talked to Adam about the painting last night, and it still scares him. And he loved exploring abandoned places and doesn't easily get frightened. Well, kind of looks like this painting. Yeah, fuck. No, I'm just kidding. I would not buy that. That would be getting incinerated. Jesus Christ, Pumpkin. You're on a mad one. She keeps jumping out. She's trying to get on the mic. Stop trying to steal the show, man. Come on, it's my show. What are you doing? All right. Here you go, she's pairing on the mic for you. Great. Right, let's finish this off. Right, so that is the end for this episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. As always, scratch. Back again, I just put it down. But yes, this is the end for the episode. As always, my name's Lou, and I hope you really enjoyed the show. Hoodies are looking like it's going to be after Christmas. Unfortunately, I don't reckon I'll get them out before. I really wanted to, but of course, with everything going on and me being unorganized as hell, I don't reckon I'll get them out. Oh my god, you just headbutted the... Right. Oh good god. Everything's going wrong. Right. Yeah, what a disaster. The cat's going mad, so this episode is going to end now. If you want to get in contact, if you've got stories yourself, you know where we are. The socials are pretty much That Haunted Show everywhere you can think of, or the email is thathauntedshow@gmail.com. If you have any stories you want to tell, that's great. I'd love to hear them. Or if you just want to chat, get in contact. That's what I do. I love to talk to you all. It's great. And if you have any ideas for any upcoming shows, the next show, I think, will probably be the Christmas special, because I kind of want to do it before Christmas, because I don't know about you, but when Christmas hits and it's like over and done with, like after Boxing Day, like Christmas is just done for me. It feels like done. That's it, you know? But yeah, that is going to be it. Have a great week, whatever you're doing. Try to relax, don't stress, enjoy. So, as always, stay safe, stay spooky, and good night.